Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
But as we begin to look at the scriptures, let's begin with prayer. All right, would you pray with me? Father God, thank you for waking us up on this Wednesday morning and just being together to look at your word, to look at the scriptures, to observe them carefully, to apply the truth of that scripture, and to continue in prayer, asking for your help to grow in the truths that are before us. And we just thank you in advance for this. And we pray this all in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So we're in a section of Proverbs, which is for all people. Some scholars divide the Proverbs up, and they say that chapters 1 through 9 is wisdom for young people. Chapters 10, and we're in chapter 11 through 24, is wisdom for all people. And then chapters 25 to 31 is specifically wisdom for leaders, kings and leaders. So keep that in mind as we look at chapter 11. If you haven't opened up your Bible app or the Bible, we're going to pick it up in chapter 11, verse 1. I'm going to probably do the Heather way of doing it, read a few verses and then talk about it instead of reading all 31 verses. I hope that's okay with you. So I'll make sure I designate what are the verses and what is my commentary. Pick it up in chapter 11, verse 1. The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. I like to say, and that's the scripture, unquote. On judgment day, many will stand alone, and no amount of riches will buy reconciliation with God. And I think that's what we're looking at, verse 4. Only our obedience to him and love for others will count. Proverbs gives some practical instruction on the use of money. Some of the verses that we'll see in Proverbs about money is be generous in giving, place needs of others above profit, be cautious when signing for someone's loan, don't accept bribes, help the poor, save for the future, and be careful about borrowing. There are at least 16 Proverbs that talk about money in the book of Proverbs. And obviously, it's very important to talk about money. So pick it up in verse 5, and I quote, "The righteousness of the blameless makes their paths straight, but the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. Hopes placed in mortals die with them. All the promise of their power comes to nothing. The righteous person is rescued from trouble, and it falls on the wicked instead." Wow, unquote. So those four verses, 5 through 8, I'd like to comment on that. You notice that the righteous person is being talked about, and righteous person is contrasted with the more mortal person, the wicked mortal person, those who have a relationship with God, who may suffer in this life, will be rescued and delivered by God. That's a promise of Scripture. As a matter of fact, we're looking at Romans 8, and that's a promise of Scripture. And by the way, obviously, some of the Proverbs are promises because they reflect the promises either in the books of the other books of the Bible, or in the New Testament, or Jesus' word. The phrase that I really struck me was, the wicked are trapped by their own evil desires. The unfaithful are trapped. The scripture bears that out. Many that we know, people are in bondage to some type of destructive behavior. Not many, but we know some. And the Proverbs bear that out. All right, let's pick it up in verse 9 through 14. With their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbors, but through knowledge, the righteous escape. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Though the blessing of the upright, a city, through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. It's almost the same verse in verse 10. Verse 12, whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. Verse 13, a gossip betrays confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Verse 14, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. So these six verses, or Proverbs, really speak to different topics. I like to look at a good leader. A good leader has several counselors or elders that can advise him. I'm blessed that Pastor Brendan and Pastor Daniel have a team of elders that guide the church. And I guess my question for you, whether you're a leader or just living this life, do you have people around you with whom you can talk and get advice? This is very important. And so it's not just important for a nation, but it's important for individuals to be able to have someone that can they can talk to. Now let's just pick it up at verse 15. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will suffer greatly, but whoever refuses to shake hands and pledge is safe. This idea of loaning money in scripture is not advised. I know we'd love to loan some money to a person. It's better to buy something for them, I believe, than to loan the money. Shaking hands in this context, by the way, was a pledge for support or money. Again, watch out for, let's shake on this. And sometimes, okay, let's shake on it, and all of a sudden now we're in court trying to break the covenant that we made with that person. I'm just curious, have you ever loaned money to someone and they still have not paid it back? This is a very difficult situation. When you're walking toward them and they don't even want to talk to you because they owe you money. How does that make you feel when you've loaned somebody money and they haven't paid you back? You feel betrayed, especially if it's somebody who's a friend. And it usually breaks that relationship. Be careful about doing that. Even loaning money to your children, just be very careful to do it in a way that honors that person to pay it back and also honors you. right, let's pick it up and look at the next four, verse 16. A kind-hearted woman gains honor, but ruthless men gain only wealth. Very interesting contrast there. Kind-hearted women and ruthless men, verse 16. Verse 17. Those who are kind, or another translation says merciful, benefit themselves, but those who are cruel bring ruin on themselves. A wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. Truly, the righteous attain life, but whoever pursues evil finds death. Let's look at those four, but I just want to again look at the righteous compared to the one who pursues evil. Because we have been redeemed by Jesus, our Savior, we have life now and life forever. But those outside of being saved, they pursue the things that they think will fill them and give them purpose. And oftentimes they pursue evil. And they will find, if they continue that way without trusting Jesus as Savior, they will find eternal death. That death and purposelessness in this life is getting to be more prevalent as the years get closer and closer to the coming of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So think about these proverbs and applying it to our world today. Let's look at verses 20 and 21, Proverbs chapter 11. The Lord detests those whose hearts are perverse, but he delights in those ways that are blameless. Be sure of this: the wicked will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free. I like to unquote. I like to think that, when I see that statement that Jesus said, when he said, "The truth will set us free. Those who are righteous will have the truth and live by wisdom and knowledge, and it will set us free." Verse 22. Let's look at this. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Let's stop there. Isn't that an interesting picture? I can't get that picture out of my mind once I started thinking about a pig with a gold ring in its snout. Again, this is going to be repeated in many proverbs about discretion and wisdom and in comparison with a person who thinks they have it all, but because they are looking at themselves and not looking to serve others, they're looking to self-aggrandizement and not giving glory to God. They're like a gold ring in a pig's snout. Physical attraction without discretion soon wears thin. The Bible does say that we are to seek the characteristics and the strengths that help make wise decisions that are based upon the scripture, that are based in a relationship with God. And again, those characteristics and strengths are very important when looking for a spouse. Don't just look for someone that looks good. Obviously, taking care of your body and taking care of your appearance is not wrong. Again, but it's more important to take care of your soul. Soul care is very important. So I guess I was going to say 5 decades ago when I was dating, if my date when I was out took the Lord's name in vain, by the way, or used unwholesome language or criticized everyone in the room, It would probably have been the last date that I had with that person, because those are things that were important to me, and I was so fortunate to meet a godly woman, Janet, that had discretion and good manners, and who was beautiful and actually said yes to my proposal of marriage. That part is very important, by the way. So here's a question. Are you working on discretion in your life? Discretion in the way you talk, not with gossip. Discretion in table manners and in manners, everyday manners. Discretion in your entertainment. Discretion while driving. Road rage is really a big thing in our world today. Think about it. Discretion is important. It tells people you care about them, and it reflects in your testimony in Jesus. Think about that. Let's look at the next four, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 23 to 26. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath. Verse 24, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Verse 26, people curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who's willing to sell. And some people would say sell or give. Unquote. Here are three proverbs, at least in a row, about being generous. I was not always generous. I was very greedy. Lord did change my heart about that. I may, as others have seen me give away things, maybe too generous of a person. I don't know if that is possible. I wonder, though, are you a generous person? Think about your life. If I were to ask your friends or family members or your children or your spouse, what would they say? Would they say you're a generous person? I would say maybe like on a scale from 1 to 10, how would they rate you? 10 being very generous. How would you rate yourself on being generous, on a scale from 1 to 10? How will you, if you're rating yourself at a 5 or 4, how will you become more generous person? I believe that's a very important aspect of your Christian faith, that people think of you as a generous person. So let's move on to the next five Proverbs, and this would be the end of the chapter. Whoever diligently seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to one who searches for only favor. Those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Whoever brings ruin on their family will inherit only wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. If the righteous receive their due on earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? This ends chapter 11, and I just saw the note again about being a generous person. It's not just your time, it's your excuse me, not just your money, it's your time and talents and I know many of you are very generous in serving others and serving, and you don't have to have money to be generous. Just be generous with your time. Be generous with the talents that God has given you. Be generous in working and helping others. That is definitely part of being generous. Again, this ends with a warning for the righteous and the warning to the ungodly. There will be a judgment day. There will be a time when God will bring judgment, His judgment on us, and that's very important. Again, that judgment day is not for the believer. As Pastor Brendan made very clear, there is therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Yes, there will be what they call the bema, the judgment seat of Christ, which will judge the things that we did for the kingdom of God. And they will be tested by fire. I mean, it seems like a moment where, we're standing before the Lord and we see the things that we did for the kingdom of God. And if it all burns up, we still will be saved. But we will be saved as by the fire, it says in 2 Corinthians 3. But again, that judgment seat of Christ is not the same as the great white throne judgment. The judgment for those who don't have a relationship with Jesus. Matter of fact, after the judgment seat of Christ, we will go into heaven. And I love this, the fact that it says in Revelation that Jesus will wipe away all of our tears. Well, why are we crying? Why we're going to heaven? Why would we have tears? Well, when we realize that we didn't serve the Lord with the talents and the time and the money that God has given us, we didn't serve Him, and all of our works were burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. We may be crying that we didn't utilize the time, utilize what God has given us for His kingdom. And so we will be saved because we have a relationship to Jesus. And there's no longer any condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But we need to utilize what God has given us for His kingdom, for that judgment seat of Christ. We who have been made righteous and live righteously will receive a reward. But the ungodly and the unredeemed will find condemnation. Again, an application question would be, are you worried about Judgment Day? I do think about it for my family and friends who are still unsaved. But for those who are in Christ and myself, I think about heaven a lot. We live for Jesus now without having to worry about a Judgment Day. So I would say that the Proverbs are telling us to live generously, to live righteously for Christ, to be generous with our time, our talents, and our money, and to live for Him. And as we do that, apply the wisdom of Proverbs and be a wise, spiritually expedient disciple of Jesus Christ, one who is not afraid to go out and to serve. Now we're going to take some time for prayer. Again, I'd like to look over these Proverbs and pray that we would be applying the truths of Scripture. And I did want to say that when you hear that the Proverbs may have been brought into the Proverbs of other ancient writers who are not Christians, were brought into this book by Solomon, understand that it was the Holy Spirit who brought all these proverbs together, and they apply to our lives. And I often don't say this enough, but all true truth, yep, I'm saying that, not my truth, not the latest truth of the day, or not the political truth that we hear. All true truth is God's truth. And it's not, I've quoted non-Christians in the pulpit because what they said was absolutely true. It's not Holy Spirit inspired, and it's not coming from a redeemed person, but it was true. And true truth is God's truth. And whether it's a wise saying from Gilgamesh or from the ancients in Egypt, Solomon brought it together for you and for me to live life better. So let's pray as we conclude. I know we're probably a little bit early, but you know, I have not really timed this out and perfectly. But let's pray. Father God, I do thank you so much for so many who are tuning in this morning for this chapter 11 of Proverbs. Thank you, Father God, for Solomon in putting this book together with these wise saying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as we read it, and I know that some will take a verse and it just, right now they're saying that verse was for me. That verse is telling me this is what I need to do. And you, Father God, you use that, each of these proverbs, to minister to the different individuals that are listening right now. And Lord God, I thank you for all these proverbs, and help us not to just to glance over them and then put the book to the side, but to realize that there are wanting, the proverbs are there, and you're wanting us to be changed by your scripture, to be transformed so that our lives reflect our relationship with you and with Jesus as our Savior and Lord. In whose name we pray all these things. And all God's people said, amen. And I heard you that time through the electric wires here. Now, by the way, I did not put in the chat my email. So I'm going to make sure that my email and my phone number, call the church office and my email, or just write down my phone number if you want, 845-546-7753, 845-546-7753. And let's start talk about these things. I know sometimes when you hear something for the first time, you kind of think, I never heard that before. And I don't want anyone to go away thinking that it's something that takes away from the inspired word of God. It does not. Truth is true, and applied truth is the way the Holy Spirit wants to work in our life. So let's grab a hold of that idea. My name is Mike Gerhardt, and I hope your life is a faith-filled adventure. God bless and have a great day.